that you might open our eyes and make me see. Come and draw near and speak and meet with us. Let us know you, Lord, more in this hour. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I invite you to turn to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 64, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to preach on something that's simple and clear. I don't believe my message is going to be long unless the Holy Ghost comes. But what I'm going to address today is what I want to know more and more from now until when I go to heaven. It's the crying need of my own life. In a way, it's the most important thing that I long to experience. So let's read verses 1 through 5 of Isaiah 64. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that your mountains might quake, that the mountains might quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear, nor no eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for Him. You meet Him, or the One, who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in your ways. This three-time repeated phrase, your presence. Your presence, at your presence. And then that phrase in verse 5, you meet Him, or meet the One, who joyfully works righteousness. I want to exhort us this morning about experiencing the presence of God more. What do we know of this in our Christian life? Some of us know very little experientially. We may have been a Christian for a number of years or a few years, but some of us can't remember a time. Perhaps it happened in our conversion, perhaps it did not. But some of us cannot remember a time when God suddenly came and manifested Himself to us, and it was life-transforming. How much do we know of God visiting us, coming to us, and our experiencing the presence of God? To know God is to experience Him. The knowledge of God in the Bible does not primarily mean intellectual knowledge. It is not didactic. It is not cerebral. It is not intellectual or just gaining information, knowing God is experiencing God. It is, at times, having an encounter with Him where He comes. Isaiah is speaking of that. Your presence. You meet with the One who joyfully works righteousness. You know, we live in a day when the American church has vast resources of information about God. Vast resources. Vast, sound, good resources. We are flooded. It's overkill. And we are 10,000 miles wide in resources about information about God. And we're often 2 inches deep in experiencing God. What do you and I know? What do you know about experiencing the presence of God? About Him coming and suddenly you're showing hospitality. You're entertaining the presence of God and it's real. In a day in America where there's vast information about God, but many have not experienced God in a saving way, and likely a great percentage of believers do not know what it is to even experience regularly God's presence. Regularly. In the Word. And in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And in a moment when you're hearing a sermon or singing a song or you're praying or you're meditating on a truth as you are about your work, and suddenly the Lord is present in a way He wasn't there a moment before, and you experience Him. You enter into communion with Him. What do we know of this? Is this foreign to you? Experiencing God's presence is a rare thing for some. And it's a never for others. Are you among the never? Are you among the rare? Are you among those who are hungry to know Him more, not just know about Him, but know Him and experience the presence of the living Savior by the ministry relationally of the Holy Spirit? And some, increasingly as they grow in Christ and love the Lord and seek Him, it's a normal thing for them to know His presence and His power. Is it for you? Where do you stand in these categories? Never, rare, normative. And do you even want that? Or just want knowledge about God? Yet Scripture declares plainly and clearly this over and over. Here is this pagan man Moses, and he's in the wilderness, and suddenly he sees something in time and in space, and it's a bush that's burning, that's not being consumed. And he is curious, and he stops, and he takes time to draw near. And what's happened? The presence of God has manifested Himself to Moses. In the burning bush, the presence of God. Moses encounters the living God. Not just information. It's an experiential, real reality. It's transcendental. It's God drawing near and manifesting His presence where you're captured, where you're stopped in your tracks, where your mouth is shut, where your heart is afraid, where your soul is stirred with this weighty experience. God is here. The living God is here. Moses was stopped. So was Isaiah in the temple. A normal temple day. And suddenly, in the temple, the God of glory reveals Himself, reveals His glory, and Isaiah sees Him. And he says, in the day that King Uzziah died, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His throne was filling the temple. And Isaiah was crushed, and he thought he was going to die because of the presence of God. He felt His sinfulness. He felt cleansing grace, and he was commissioned. It was a real experience with God by the prophet that changed everything, that shaped everything. One of the minor prophets said, "Then shall we know if we press on to know the Lord." That means experience Him. Are we afraid of this? Reformed theology has made us afraid of experiencing God. It's just true. And it shouldn't. Because the old-timers, the old-timers, Augustine, Luther, Calvin, Spurgeon, the great Scottish Presbyterians, they believed and experienced what I'm talking about today. But it's so vacant among us. We're so shallow in this, we don't know much about it. David's language and experience in Psalm 63, it's experiential, it's relational. Earnestly, Lord, I seek You. I thirst for You. I have looked upon You in the sanctuary, and my soul clings to You. Now, when was the last time in your morning reading, in your devotions, the Lord manifested Himself? And it was way beyond Scripture reading. He's there. He's near. And your soul just grabs on. And you're clinging to Him. Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that they may know Thee, the one true God." And Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. Salvation is an encounter with the living God in His Son by the Holy Spirit experientially. It's an encounter with God that's a watershed. It may come gentle breezes where you wake up by the Holy Spirit, or it may be a Damascus road. But you meet God, and He's real, and He wasn't before. And you now know Him. And you're launched onto a path of knowing Him more and more. Theologically, doctrinally, knowledge. But this book brings us to His presence to know Him experientially. Where we're to press in beyond the sacred page, as we sang this morning, to seek Him and to know Him. Only Christianity has a living, ongoing, relational experiencing of God. Only Christianity does. Every other religion in this world is dead, legalistic, dry, dusty, and empty. And only true Christianity is about a living and ongoing relational experience of God. Now, I want to make two major points this morning and some application. So, follow with me. Point number one, believers are to experience God through and in the Word of God. This book is not an end in itself. It is not a textbook of information. It is not a book full just of knowledge and facts and history and principles to learn so you can behave better. The book is the voice of God. The book R is filled with words of life. The book is our Savior and our Shepherd's voice. And when we come to it and we get in it, we're not just to gather and learn information. We're to see Him in it. And we are to draw near to Him in it. And it speaks to us of God and Christ and the Holy Spirit. And in those moments when He speaks to us, God is wanting to meet with us. In the moment. Sometimes you can get more life out of one verse when the Holy Spirit makes it come alive and He begins to minister to you and set your heart free and gives you joy than reading five chapters. Meeting God and experiencing Him in the Word. It's the revelation and the voice of God Himself to man. It mediates God's presence to us. Now listen to me. When you and I are in the Scriptures, we see things we've never seen. We learn things we've never known. We see the bigger picture. We see the unity of the Bible. We see the doctrines and the truths. But as we read it more in an ongoing way, the Spirit of God wants to reveal Himself and the Father and the Lord Jesus to us and meet with us in the moment as we're reading Scripture. For Him to encounter us and for us to experience Him as we are in the Word. So our goal in reading Scripture and in hearing sermons is not just information and knowledge. Beloved, move beyond that. Shift gears beyond that. The information and the knowledge is essential. It's absolutely essential to be clear in the truth, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. But the Word of God is meant, it's a watered garden. And it's beyond the sacred page through and beyond the sacred page, the manifest presence of Christ wants to meet us when we're in the Word. Is this your experience? Not just learning about God. It is God Himself to meet with and to know His presence more and more in the Word as we wait before Him. Beyond, not apart from, beyond the sacred page, I seek Thee. My spirit pants for Thee, O living Word. Now you see this example in Scripture all the time, this experiential language. The psalmist will say things like, my heart is glad in Him. Why is that verse there? It's so you'll stop and let your heart be glad in Christ. Get glad. Meeting Christ in the Word, we stop and we milk that and we suck on that and we partake of God's presence, because it's His voice in the moment. That morning, that evening, God is speaking to us in that Word, and we're to experience Him in it. Psalm 35, David says, Lord, say to my soul, I am your salvation. Isn't that strange language? David's saying, Lord, meet with me. Give me more assurance. Be near me, be real to me, meet with me. I want to know you more. I want to experience you more. Lord, say to my soul, I am your salvation. I'm your deliverer. That's experiential. Meeting God in the Word. Meet with me. Give me some assurance. Be real, be near to me. Come, Lord. Just come. It's been a long time since it happened. Just come. Lord, last week you met with me. Here I am again. I want to meet you. I want to know you. I want to experience you more in my faith. Now, many verses are meant to the end. They're meant of our experiencing Him. One of my favorite passages in the Psalms. Think of this. David says, "You make me to know the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy." In your presence, Lord, here we are. Come near. In your presence is fullness of joy. I need more. I want more. The joy of the Lord's my strength. In your presence, Lord, is fullness of joy. The Word of God, has that ever been your experience? Ever? When in the Word and in prayer, the presence and the power and the love of God suddenly comes and is poured over you, and you can't speak. And you're melted in joy and in tears because God has come in that moment and is meeting you, and you forget the Scripture. You're caught up in Him. He will visit the one who believes this. He will visit the one who is open to experiencing His presence more. I will meet with the one who joyfully works this righteousness. Paul encountered the Lord Jesus at conversion on the Damascus Road in Arabia for 3 years, taught by the Lord Jesus personally. No record of that. That's a good question for heaven. Paul, tell me about the 3 years. He was taught by the Lord Jesus personally in Arabia before coming to Damascus, then Jerusalem to meet Peter, spend 2 weeks with Peter, and other times, Acts 18 in Corinth. Paul was weak. He was apparently afraid. And Christ meets with him, manifests himself to him in a vision one night to strengthen and encourage him to go on. Listen, your Bible knowledge at times won't carry you with strength and encouragement like you need in a moment. We ought to pray for the presence of God to come and strengthen us in the moment. And you know, as well as I do, if you've experienced the Lord, you know what I'm talking about. It was Him coming and strengthening you and helping you and lifting you that carried you on when your knowledge wasn't going to do it. What do you think Pentecost was but the presence of God just coming? And Paul says to the Philippians, "I count everything as loss in light of the worth of knowing Christ." Knowing Him. And then he says, "And I have this goal, that I might know Him by partaking of His power and even experience His sufferings." Knowing Him. Lord, I want to know You more. And 7 verses later, Paul says, "Brothers, join in imitating me." I want to know Him. I want to experience Him. Is this in your heart, as a person who's been a Christian 40 years or 4 or 10, it's immaterial. Are you hungry to experience the living Savior manifested in His presence regularly through the Word? That's point number one. Beloved, don't settle for Bible reading only. Get in it deep. Get in it consistently. Be regular. But meet the Lord. Ask Him to meet with you in the Word. Ask Him to mediate His presence to you. Ask Him, "Lord, I want to know Your love. I want Your love poured out in my heart. I want Your presence to fill me with joy in my time in the Scriptures. You have not because you don't believe it or because you ask not. Lord, speak to me as I search the Scriptures, because You said they testify of You, and I'm coming to You that I might have life." So that's the first truth. Experiencing God in and through the Bible. Point number two. Experiencing Him in the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not separate from, but it is separate from. What I mean is, the Holy Spirit lives in us. He's a person. He's with you, Christ in you. So you have a relationship with God that is living and organic and incarnational and experiential. He's a person. And He's in you and with you, so you can commune with Him, fellowship with Him, cry out for Him, love Him, know Him, entertain Him, welcome Him when you're not in the Bible. Experiencing God by the Holy Spirit, in addition to, along with, your relationship with the Word of God. And nothing will come to you experientially from the Holy Spirit that's not rooted and grounded and taught right here. But there is experience beyond being in the Scriptures. Do you know Him that way? What's our relationship like, really, intimately, daily, having the Lord ever before us? What's our relationship like relationally with the Holy Spirit of God, who is Christ in us? We neglect Him. We forget Him. He's within us. He wants to come upon us at times. He wants to draw near. In a sermon, you're hearing God's truth, and suddenly you feel this weightiness. It's gripping you, and you're moved, and you feel convicted, you feel encouraged. That is God, the Holy Spirit, in the moment, drawing near to you, and He's ministering to you. He wants you to experience Him in that moment. Recognize that and welcome Him and experience Him in the moment. In a song, you can be singing a hymn. You can be in prayer, and suddenly the Lord is there. And it's real, and He wasn't there that way a moment ago. And He's there. And you recognize Him. And you pause. And you draw near. And you commune. And you love Him. You entertain Him. And you experience Him. The 20th century lost this. This is true Christianity from the beginning. Spurgeon knew it. Mueller knew it. John G. Payton knew it. Whitfield knew it. Wesley knew it. Calvin knew it. Experiencing the presence of God. This must be cultivated . The casual person won't encounter God very often. God has intimates. He's more intimate with some people than with others, because they want to have that intimacy with Him, and they believe they can have it. Their theology hadn't put them in a box where the Holy Spirit can't break through and meet with them. Read closely again, brethren, John 14 and 15 and 16, and let it sink in a little bit more. Camp out there. He can come during a song. He can come in the bathroom when you're getting ready for the morning. He can come in your car. He can come when you're laying on your bed. One Baptist preacher years ago, the Spirit of God came on him mightily as he got up in the middle of the night to have a glass of milk, and he opened the refrigerator. He had been praying, and the Lord met with him, and he melted in tears, and his whole life was transformed. In closing, here's three admonitions and applications. Number one, believe this truth. Do you believe it? Do you believe this is biblical? Do you believe Christ not only crucified and risen and reigning, do you believe Christ manifested? Believe this truth. Believe it. See it in the Word more and more. Unbelief will rob us of entering the land. Wrong teaching will rob us of experiencing God. We have to embrace the truth and believe it if we want to know Him experientially more. Number two, seek and ask. Be seeking, be asking, be knocking more and more all the time. Luke 11, Luke 18. Perhaps one of my favorite two or three verses, Luke 11, 13. You know it. But is it real? Do we believe it? And are we practicing it? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. You fathers here, you know how to do that. You moms do. If you, being evil, fallen, finite, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who are always asking? Number three, cultivate and practice the presence of God. When you're working, when you're resting, when you're in the Scriptures, when you're in prayer, when you're in fellowship, when you're in worship, cultivate and seek after the manifest presence of God. Because to the soul who joyfully works this righteousness, He will come. He will come. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who are asking? I want us to pray right now. Let's pause and let's ask Him to seal the reality of this in our hearts. Father, my words are inadequate, insufficient, imperfect to convey the great perfect truth of experiencing God. But Lord, would you seal the truth in our minds and our hearts, that we could know you experientially more. This is our prayer. And Lord, we say in our hearts, we want to know you. We want to know you more. We want you to manifest yourself to us. We long for you to draw near, surprise us, visit us in the prayer closet, whenever, wherever, Lord, come and let the reality of this be real in our lives and in our midst as a church. For the glory of our Savior, Father, we pray. You respond to the Lord in these moments. Say to Him what He has said to you. Father, this is our heart's cry and our prayer. For Jesus' sake, amen.